When Kelly was talking about the oldest staff member preaching this morning, she forgot to mention to you that it was her idea that we have an old-fashioned gospel sing. And then she said, maybe we should dust the old man off one more time. So it's not just all because of me. As I was thinking, Kelly was talking about, let's have an old-time gospel service. And then, of course, my first mind thought was, oh, gee, then that means we need to start having some fire and brimstone and the altars being ripped open and everyone coming forward and songs at the back of the tabernacle for sale. Well, that thought didn't go along very far until God said, I think I have something else for you. And I'm glad he did. Because the songs that we sang this morning are songs that are simple. 30-some years ago, for the second time, I answered the call. The first time, I didn't answer it. And to enter into the ministry. And boy, I went back to Warner Pacific, and I got my Bible classes under some of the best professors that have ever been at Warner, some that are still very dear to my heart. And I remember that Teresa and I had just gotten married at that time, and I'm sitting in bed reading Theology of the Old Testament by Kaiser and some of these other profound names. I started having words this long in German. And so we'd break them down, and Teresa would be scratching her head saying, oh, man, what a boring topic. And I think she actually fell asleep easier when I was trying to share my theology with her. But I felt sorry for the first congregation I had. Because as I'm going to school, I was called to serve a local congregation. And they put up with me for several months as I'm sharing with them my great profound wisdom that I have. And then I discovered that really, I'm not a theologian. I do not sit in the ivory towers of theology or on academia and ponder these great issues of salvation or transubstantiation or any of the other big terms that we want to use. Because God chose me with the heart to be a chaplain. And a chaplain and a pastor are the same but serve different congregations. And my message is a very simple message and one that I've been blessed so much to share. And that is, as the songs told us today, all we have to do is have faith. And how do we get that faith? If we go back and look at the New Testament, there's a question that was asked about, the disciples were asking Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he looked at a small child. And he asked that child come and be with them. And as I envision him putting that child on his lap, and the pictures often show this, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you become like a child, one of these little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And faith is that simple. And those of us that have had children and grandchildren, we know that they come to us and they want simple answers. They don't want complex answers. And my faith is based upon the fact that God loves me. And when I ask him into my heart, I am saved. And that's what really counts. And all of these other big questions, as we mature in our faith, we begin to explore more. But the important thing is, God loves us. Let's set the textual concept for today's message. Early in the morning, and this is a different story, but early in the morning as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. And as he's walking along, he sees a fig tree by the road. And he walked up to it, but he found nothing on it except leaves. And then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately, the tree withered. Now, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. And they said, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Do you feel like you have the faith to move a mountain this morning? I have spoken to those who claim that they have that kind of faith. I've also met many who looked at this passage of Scripture and they wonder if they have any faith at all, because they feel as though they could never move a mountain. One fellow that I read about said this, Lord, I have never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster would not even move a small anthill. Is that the way you feel sometimes? There's a story of a man whose son was possessed by the devil, and is reported in Mark chapter 9. And I am convinced that most of us have that same kind of faith that this man had. Mark 9, 17 to 22 tells us, a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, and that's Jesus, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Some of us come to church week after week, and we feel as though we have been in sight of the devil's big guns. It's like all the powers on hell have been unleashed with one thing in mind, to take us down. Mountains come in many fashions and forms in our lives. It seems that there's not a day that goes by but what a new mountain appears in our path. All of life is a struggle. I thank God for the good days. I thank God for those days when everything runs smoothly, when nothing breaks down, when there's no feuding going on in the family, when the church is doing well, the weather is fine, and I feel like I'm sitting on top of the world. But those good days seem to be so few, and it does not take long until the world comes sitting upon top of me. How many of you can say amen to that feeling? Job was certainly inspired by the Holy Spirit when he penned the words, a man's life is a few days and full of trouble. How many Christians do you see that act just like that demon-possessed son? I know that the devil cannot possess a Christian. Either we are a child of God or we are a child of the devil. We cannot be both. But sometimes we feel like we might have been kidnapped by the devil for a while because of the troubles and the torments that he brings against us. I've seen some who just let the devil lead them around. I've seen some who just let the devil lead them by the nose. And they allow him to take them anywhere he wants to. And then they allow the devil to tear away their love for the church, their love for other Christians, and for their love for God. And while he gives them a love of the things of this world, remember, he even tried this with Jesus in the wilderness. And finally, one day those Christians will wake up by the mercies of God, and they will realize where they are. Then they will begin to cry about their circumstances. They will sit there with the mountain of faults and failures sitting across their pathway back to God. And there they will stay for a while, just whining and complaining that life is just not fair. Well, whoever said that life is going to be fair in the first place? Life is not fair. Life is not fair when mountains that stand before you is a mountain of sickness, when you have done everything in your power to eat right, exercise, and maintain your health. Life is not fair when an innocent child has to suffer the loss of his parents. Life is not fair when you work hard for the company and then you see them turn against you after many years. Life is not fair when that spouse who committed their life and loved to you for as long as you both shall live suddenly finds somebody else to make their commitment to life. Life is not fair. It is short. It is full of troubles. And that vapor of smoke that only lasts for a moment and then is gone is your life. And it represents a lot of troubles. It represents a lot of trials. It represents a lot of tests and hard times. That is life. Get used to it. Get used to it, but don't let it overcome you. You still have all the faith that it takes to move those mountains and to walk on in victory. Maybe the devil has a part to play in our lack of victory. But more often, it is not the devil. It's our own choices that keep us from doing what it takes to have a right relationship with God. Some of us are old enough to remember the 1960s, and we will remember TV comedian Flip Wilson. One of his favorite things to say when he did something wrong was, "The devil made me do it." The fact is that most of the church world has that same kind of attitude. We love to blame the devil for everything that's not right with our walk with the Lord. My friends, it is not the devil who makes us do wrong. It is our own choice. We see the mountains of temptation, frustration, anger, and desire for the things of the world ahead of us. Instead of using the path that God gives us to move the mountain, we just give up and start whining about it. Sometimes I feel like the same thing is happening to me that happened to that possessed son. I feel life that I'm experiencing as such that I'm being taken out of the frying pan and cast into the fire. Or I've been caught up in the pool of tears and then cast into the sea of humanity that is filled with despair. And I begin to wonder, when will this pass? And when will I rise again? Then when I feel like a mountain has been set right down on top of me, I remember the words that Jesus said when the disciples could not cast out that devil. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And I suddenly come to realize that I am not what I should be in the Lord. I just keep on failing him so miserably. God, I need help here. I cannot do this on my own. I even feel more miserable than before when I come to realize just how far I am from having that mountain-moving experience of faith. And then I also remember what Jesus told the man to do. "Go and bring him to me." That, my friends, it's the answer to moving our mountain. That is what you have to do if you want to see it removed from your life. You have to take it to Jesus. "Jesus, here is my mountain. I've tried to overcome it, but I cannot. I've tried to climb over it, but it is too steep and too high. I have tried to tunnel through it, but it is just too hard. I tried to push it out of my life, but it is just too heavy for me to bear. I have tried to carry it away, but I cannot carry enough of it to make a difference. I tried the best I know how, but the mountain is still there. And that is when Jesus will say, as it's recorded in Mark 9:23-24, if you are able, everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What do we answer? What kind of great faith do we have? For most of us, the mountain is so huge and our faith is so weak that all we can say in reply is what the father said that day. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know you can deliver me. Lord, I know that you know all things and that you can do all things. I don't doubt your power. I do not doubt your love. I do not doubt your mercy or your grace. I do not doubt that you are God. But will you really deliver me? Jesus, I've been sick a long time. Will you really heal me? I know that you can, but do you want to? And will you do it now? Jesus, I've been bound by this bad habit for many years. I've tried to break its hold on my life so many times. I know that you can deliver me from the habit, but will you? Jesus, I've done some terrible things in my life, and I've committed some horrible crimes against you. I want to be forgiven, and I know what your word says, but will you really forgive me? Jesus, I have failed to pray, to study your word, and I have not been as faithful and committed to you as I should have been. I know that you said I could go back to the throne room of heaven, and I could seek forgiveness, and I could seek restoration. But will the Father really accept me again? Will he ever be able to use me again? Jesus, I have begun to desire the things of this world too much. I've sought after those things that have become weights that stop me from serving the Lord. How can I break those ties? Lord, I know you can do that for me. But how? But when? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I know you can do all things. I know you see all things and have all power. But will you move my mountain? Will you set me free? I've seen you do it for others. I can have faith for them. But what about for me? Can it really happen for me? In the book of Matthew, chapter 21, Jesus cursed the fig tree because it did not bear any fruit. The disciples were amazed at the power that Jesus had over nature. They knew that Jesus was more than just a man. But how could he do such things? And again in Matthew 21, verses 21 to 22, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Lord, I know I have faith. I believe that your word is true. And I believe that you can do all things. But I just do not know if you would do it for me, right here and right now. We like to qualify what the word says, just in case it doesn't happen. Just so that we won't appear to be a faithless people, we say things like, In God's time, it will happen. Or maybe this is just the cross I must bear. Or that is the way it is. Or maybe this is my thorn in the flesh, like Paul had to remind him of his weaknesses. Yes, there are times when God will allow circumstances to remain to test our faithfulness and to teach us some spiritual lessons. But do not let that be a cop-out for lack of faith in God's power to heal, to set free, and to deliver. When we see the mountain of sickness, we need to pray in faith, believing that the healing for us right now. And when we see that mountain of troubles, we need to pray in faith, believing that the mountain will be moved. And I'm convinced that most people do not pray because they do not expect God to answer their prayers in the first place. They kneel down and they talk to themselves for a while. And they're not expecting God to speak because they've never heard him before. And they get tired of hearing their own voice. And they get tired of wondering if God is even listening. And then they get up and they go back to doing the same thing again. The only thing that really was accomplished was to ease their conscience for a little while. And sadly, they have not touched God through faith. Listen to what the rest of what the man said in the illustration that I began with. Began the illustration with the words, "Lord, I have never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster would not move a small anthill." But then he goes on, and he says, "But I will tell you, Lord, I am grateful for the joy of knowing you and for all the mountain moving down through life that you have done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens and pain and sorrow have been more than I can bear, you have always been my courage to deliver me from life's troubled seas and to move those little mountains that looked so big to me. Many times when I have had problems, so many bills that I had to pay, all the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting after each day. Jesus, I do not know how you did it. I cannot explain it. All I know is that I've seen those mountains turn into blessings in disguise. No, I have never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank you, Lord of heaven, you've always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I will have no fear, for the mountain-moving Jesus is my strength, and he's always near." Do you see the faith that this man has? Do you see what just happened? He did not have the faith to move an anthill, but he had trust and faith in the one who could. God still moved the mountain for him, not because he cursed the mountain and cast it aside, but because he took it to Jesus, and then Jesus is the one who cast it aside. It's not for you and your faith that moves the mountains. It is not you and your faith that cures the sickness, takes away the habits, or changes your life. It is your faith in Jesus to believe that he can and he will move mountains. A little boy was spending his Saturday morning playing in a sandbox. He had his box of cars and trucks and his plastic pail and his shiny red plastic shovel. And in the process of creating roads and tunnels in the soft sand, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. The little boy dug around the rock, managing to dislodge it. He struggled. He pushed and nudged the rock across the sandbox by using his feet. He was a very small boy, and the rock was very large to him. And when the boy got the rock to the edge of the sandbox, he found that he could not roll it up and over that little hill. Determined, the little boy continued to shove, to push and pry. But every time that he thought he'd had some progress, the rock tipped and fell back into the sandbox. The little boy grunted and struggled and pushed and shoved. His only reward was to have the rock roll back. Smashing his fingers, he finally burst into tears of frustration. And all the time, the boy's father watched from his living room window as the drama unfolded. At the moment that the tears began to fall, a large shadow fell across the boy in the sandbox. And it was the boy's father. Gently but firmly, he said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had available?" Defeated, the boy sobbed back, "But I did, Daddy, I did. I used all the strength that I had." "No, son," corrected the father kindly, "you did not use all the strength you had. You did not ask me." And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. That is the way Jesus is. He stands ready to help us if we just ask. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that he cares? Do you believe that he hears your prayers? Do you believe that he has all the power to do whatever it takes to answer your prayer? Do you believe that Jesus wants to answer your prayer or deliver you right now? Do you have faith in him? Let us answer in faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I know that you will answer my prayer right now. I know that you will take this mountain out of my life and cast it into the sea. And I believe it's going to happen right now." Is there a mountain in your life that seems too big for you? Is there a need in your life that needs to be met right now? Jesus is the answer. Take it to him in prayer, and then expect an answer.